Open. You may close as you see fit.
Tonight. I've been blessed already to singing the message of the song as we sang together, lifted our voices together. And I didn't vote on the theme song, but I was glad I would have voted for the last one. That song blessed me. I look forward to sharing that this week. Oh, the mercy. Oh, the grace for me, for you. Mercy there was great. It was so great. The mercy of God for you to see me is so great. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what happened to you today. It doesn't matter who your parents were or who they weren't. It doesn't matter. God wants to take you from here. He wants to extend his mercy to you tonight. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. It was free for you and I. It cost Jesus everything, but it was free for us. It's still free. God's grace is still available. God's grace is still for us. We're still living in the day of grace. This week, I have a few goals. I would like to go over them with you. I would like you to share them with me. I would like you to think about them as your goals. And primarily, my goal tonight, my burden this week, my heart cry is to learn about Jesus. To learn about what he is for me, what he has done for me. I want to learn to be a better disciple of Jesus. A disciple has 4 points I would like to just share. To be a disciple, I first of all need to be a student. A student is one that has decided, has accepted that yes, I will learn. I will apply myself. I will be a student of learning. So this week, through the weekend, I would like to, in a special way, be a student of the Word of God. I would like to learn this week about Jesus, about how to be a better disciple, a better follower of Jesus. And so I want to be a student. To be a student, we need a teacher. So I would like for us, all of us, not only Brother William and your ministry, but myself, but you individually, that you would open the Word of God, that you would follow along the Word of God, and consider the Word of God your teacher. Consider the Word of God as a voice from the Lord that is teaching you this week. Remember, as we learn, we're students, and the Word will speak to us. So it's my goal, my burden is partly that we would be taught, that we would hear the teacher. A student needs to hear. A student needs to know what the teacher wants to say to learn. Those are elementary statements. I realize that. But we need to hear the teacher. And again, I mean hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. And I'll try and be respectful. I know these weeks, these are busy weeks. And we have children. We have young people. We have little children that need their beds. We have school children. And it's always my desire when I come into congregations. And by the way, this is a blessing for me. This is one of my favorite works as a servant of God, is to share in this way. I just want to say that now. I just really enjoy it. I do. I enjoy being here, trying to know you better. But I want to consider your time, and I want to be respectful of your week, this week. Thirdly, to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to learn. We can have the student, we have the teacher, we have the Word of God, but until I apply what the teacher is saying, what the Word of God is saying to my heart, I haven't learned anything. I haven't, it hasn't profited me anything. I can hear it, and I can hear it, and I can hear it, but until I learn it, I'll make a little illustration that comes to my mind right now is in a few years we were in Guatemala, and I love that country. And the one big hurdle was the language. And I thought, well, I'll get down there and I'll be with them and I'll hear them and I'll get it. Right? We don't just get it. It takes a lot of trust, particularly for me. It took a lot of discipline, a lot of learning, a lot of memorization, a lot of applying myself, because I could hear it all day long, but I wasn't learning it. It just didn't happen. So until we learn, until we take the scriptures and we take the Word, our teacher, and learn it, and it becomes part of my life. Fourthly, my burden this week is that we would become more like Christ, more like our teacher, more like our master. If you were an apprentice in a plumbing business or electrical business, you would follow the teacher, you would follow your employer, you would be an apprentice under him. You would be learning about the trade through him. And Jesus wants to teach you tonight how to be a disciple by example, by becoming like Jesus. And a number of times he mentions that in his word. He says, as Christ, or Apostle Paul says, I follow me as I follow Christ. As we follow the teacher, we become like Christ. Jesus said, as I have loved, so, I'm somewhat paraphrasing this. As I have loved, so love. As I have done, John 13. As I have washed your feet, so likewise do ye. Do it. Become like me in that. As I have done to you, as I have loved the Father, so love one another. This might be an odd one, the next one I have here, but I wrote it down this afternoon. I just prayed about this, and I felt maybe because of some of the things that happened to us in the last number of weeks and months. But I thought it would be good just for this week. Just try it. And I'll do this with you, but I don't talk about my brother. My brother may not even be here. In fact, he probably won't be. The brothers in my church, I'm talking about, you are my brothers and sisters. Don't misunderstand me, but But for this week, let's not talk bad about our brother, our sister. Just do that. Maybe that's normal for you. Praise God if it is. But there's so much damage. There's so much division because we talk unkindly or unlovingly about our brother and sister. Husband and wife, try really hard to talk kindly this week to your wife and to your husband. Try it for a week. And maybe that's normal. I trust it is. It can be. All right, well, the message tonight I've titled The Cost of Being a Disciple. The Cost of Being a Disciple. And what does it mean? And in a way, this is a sermon, this is a message I believe that God has laid on my heart to share with you about preparation for revival. But I hope at the same time it does have some effect on you, where you understand the cost of being disciples, where you understand the cost of following Jesus, and that you could have your soil prepared, that whatever God tells you this week will become part of your life, that it will not fall on deaf ears and hard soil and rocky, dry, thorny places. Brother William mentioned already, I guess I would like to say this before we go into the message. Father, I should have maybe earlier that my wife is here. I thank God for that. It's a bit unusual to have her alone, but it worked out. Our brother William called. He made special note, made special invitation for Charlotte to come, and I'm very thankful that we could make that happen. So my wife is here, and we have two children not here. I have a married daughter living in Hutchinson, Kansas. And Laura Willing, I'd like to share some very exciting news that we will be grandparents for the first time. And I don't mean a lot to you, but it does to us. So I'm going to share that joy with you. And our youngest, our only son, is almost 20 years old. He's at Maranatha Bible School at this time. So that's our family. There's four children. Maybe learn to know more of us through the week, more about us throughout the week. Well, the cost of being a disciple, I would like to go for a text. Before I do that, I'd like to read some verses, share some verses by introduction. You have to turn to these in Isaiah chapter 44. These verses really blessed me. I'd like to just use them. Maybe we'll say them. Maybe we'll read them more often this week. I'm not sure. But yet, it says in verse 1, yet now hear, O Jacob. I'd like to say, yet now hear, O whatever your name is. Put your name in there. I'll use my name. Yet now hear, O Nevin, or O Wesley, or O Jeff, whatever your name is. My servant, and Israel, and the church here in Bonner's Ferry. I can't pronounce your church. I want to learn it, how to do that. But the church here and the community here. The verse 1 says, and O Israel, and I would like to say, and O church here in Bonner's Ferry, whom I have chosen. You are a chosen church. You're a chosen congregation, a chosen group of people, individually and collectively. God has a plan for you. God wants you, desires you to be here, to be a witness of Jesus here. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O young man, O father, O grandfather, O Jacob, my servant. For thou, O Jezreel, whom I have chosen, and thou, O Jezreel, whom I have chosen. Verse 3, For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Are you thirsty tonight? Did you come tonight to be... Was there a desire in your heart to come? Was there a desire in your heart that you knew that you needed drawing near to God, that you needed to be revived? Is that longing in your heart tonight? I hope so. Because I believe as Christians, whether you're a Christian of 50 years or 60 years or 6 months or 6 days, we need to continually grow and maturing in Jesus. So I believe just as a A young person, a young animal, a young calf needs that milk and that nurture. Young babies, they need the milk, they need to grow. We need to continue growing, so we need to be thirsting. Jesus says, blessed is he who thirsteth and hungers and thirsteth for righteousness. So I hope tonight, as a people, that we do that together. We hunger and thirst. And he promises something very beautifully in verse 3. I'll read on. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry grounds. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. That's a blessing for us tonight. I know it was written to Israel. I know it was written to Jacob. But it was also written to Nevin and to William and to all of you. The blessings of Jesus pouring out his spirit upon us and giving us life and satisfying our thirst. Now for a text, go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. You may know it by heart, no doubt. I like to read this, just one verse. I like to read slowly. I like it to sink into your mind and your heart. As you think about what does it take to be a disciple of Jesus, Paul writes to the Romans, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to the church. He's writing to the church. He's writing to the Christian. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Tonight, I believe this verse entails the meaning of a disciple of Jesus. One that knows the mercies of God personally. The mercies of God, the extended mercy of God to us, a sinner, to me, a sinner, a very desperate sinner, a man without hope. The mercy of God reached down and called me. It reaches down and called you. And by the mercies of God, you're here tonight. By the grace of God, you're here tonight. By the grace of God, you're not out there with an orange suit on inside a wire fence and locked doors. We go to some prisons at home. I'm sorry, singular. We go to a prison at home. And I'm always moved when I go in there and I see these men coming and they're just like me. And you all probably are involved in that and know what I'm talking about. They're just like me. They like the same things. They want the same things. They want a happy home. They want a wife. They want these things. And because of some choices they made, they have orange suits on and chains around their ankles. And I ask myself, how, but for the mercy of God, I'm not there. Why is it? Well, it's because the grace of God, and of course choices that we make along our way in our lives. By the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, whenever there was a sacrifice, there was a death. The New Testament, we still sacrifice, but it's a living sacrifice. I sacrifice my will. I sacrifice my time. I sacrifice what I want. Whenever there's a sacrifice, Old Testament or New Testament, something dies. Something is changed. Something that was no longer is. That bullock is slain. That animal is brought to the altar, and there's some kind of an instrument. Without being gory, there is an instrument that kills that animal. And it's no longer the same. Something changed. When I go and I surrender my will to God's will, there's a definite change. And this week, I would like for us to know that we have been changed. If you're a Christian and nothing ever changed, I would like to talk to you about change. I would like to help you see that now there needs to be a change. I don't no longer live the way I did. I no longer do the things that I did. I no longer walk the way I walked. But there is a change in my heart because something died. My will died. The powers that were are no longer are. The powers changed. The king that's on my throne, that was on my throne, is changed. And there's a new king there. My will is broken. I no longer have my will. My carnal, selfish will, our carnality, must die. There must be a sacrifice of our carnality, a sacrifice of our will. So I get up in the morning, I face the day, and things are different because I have a new governor, I have a new king, and I'm operating under his authority now. We are no longer drawing our decision-making process, our discernment no longer comes from our carnality and our will. We are connected to the vine, and our life and our being is by the power of Jesus. I no longer live, I die. But Christ now liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. I am crucified. I am dead. The sacrifice on the altar was made. And I no longer live. Not I, not you, but Christ. And this week my heart is that we would understand this very simple truth, that I must die that Christ may live. To be a disciple, my dear people, you must die. To be a disciple, my dear people, there must be a change. It's part of the altar life. We must live our lives by the altar life. Our life must be a journey of altar experiences. We have one altar when we go there many, many times. Lord, I lay this down. I really wanted to buy that farm. I really wanted to start that business, but Lord, you shut the door. And so I'm going to lay it down. I really wanted to have that girlfriend. I really thought she was the one. But I'm going to lay it down. Why did this happen to me? It's not fair. What they said about me, it's not true. So I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to lay it on the altar. It was unkind and it hurt. I'm going to lay it on the altar. Many times, you need to go back to the altar and surrender and surrender and surrender. I'd like to share a little story, a personal story. Happened to us very recently. I told Brother William about tonight at supper, and I just felt like I'd just like to share now, just for the glory of God, and maybe just to share with you a little bit of my struggle. A number of years ago, at our home church there in Missouri, there was a need for a bishop. I won't go into detail, but there was ordination 3 weeks ago. And my wife and I, we had surrendered our wills. We went through ordination. We sat with the brothers. There were three of us in the lot. And it wasn't us. It's all right. What do you think? Well, get over it, right? You happy? Well, I am. Okay. I am. But there was a re-surrendering. All of a sudden, okay, Lord, it's okay. It's okay. But now I need to surrender again in a new way. And it's just part of life. It's an ongoing process of surrendering. yielding. Probably the biggest, most important part of being a disciple tonight is that you have a broken heart. And I know we talked about surrender and yielding. Let's just go a little deeper than that. Let's look at what the Bible says about a broken heart. I would like to challenge you this week that you would pray for a broken heart. And I believe, brothers and sisters, I believe that I'm talking to a group of God's children. And I don't doubt for a minute that God is not with you and ministering to you and the Holy Spirit is leading you. I believe that. But in life, we need to know, we need to break down, not break down so much, but we need to have a broken heart. God's desire for you tonight is to have a broken heart for Him. And I know my personal experiences, and I know myself, and I know how easy it is. And I know humanity just a little bit, and it's natural for us to not go to a, not to want a broken heart, because we want what we want, and we like way to live and do what we want. But there is a call, a very clear call in God's word. Remember, God's word is our teacher, and the teacher is calling us to a broken heart and a broken spirit. And God wants that for you this week. He wants that for you tonight. He wants it. And let's see in His Word. Let's go to Psalm 51 and verse 17. First of all, these are familiar verses. And you say, oh, I heard that before, and you did. But we're a leaky vessel, so I think it's good to read them again. Psalm 51, verse 17. You know, David here transgressed and all this prayer of confession and repentance of David's part. And then in verse 17, David says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. God doesn't necessarily need your money. He doesn't necessarily need your talents. He wants them. It's right that He gets them. It's right that you give them to Him. But I believe the underlining, the most important thing that your master needs, that your master wants from you, is a broken heart. David says the sacrifices are not. Well, verse 16 says it better than I can. For thou desirest not sacrifices, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Those things were right for David to do. Those things were necessary for David to do. But what God needed was David's broken heart. What God needs is not his Nevin's broken heart. A heart that is truly broken before God. That this is, Lord, it's your will for my life. And by breaking my heart, I'm allowing God to come into my abyss in my heart and to lay his finger on whatever issue that he wants to in my heart. My heart is not locked anymore. It's broken. It's open. And it's, God, it's okay. And God can come in. He can press down and from this point right here, that $25,000 pickup, you'll need it. And you're going to say, yes, God. That's right. That's right. I don't need it. I'm going to hear your voice. I'm going to be broken before you about this issue. And that business adventure, that whatever you're facing, that music in my life is not right that I listen to. And God says that music is not my spirit. It's another spirit. I don't want you to have that music. I don't want you to listen to that music anymore. I want you to change your music tonight. I want you to change your music. And so you say, yes, God. And this week, as we go to the teacher and he talks to us and teaches us, we say, yes, God, I hear you. I'll change that. You can have that. And that thing way back 6 months and 6 years ago that I said about my brother. And he brings it back to my memory. He says, you know, that was not entirely true what you said about that brother. That was not entirely true the way you said it happened, and you it wasn't right. And I'd like you to go back. I'd like you to confess that again. I want you to confess that to your brother. I want you to tell your wife that you're sorry for what you said. And you say, yes. Yes, God. I hear you. I hear you. Broken. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. God dwells in a broken heart. Oh, God wants a broken heart to dwell in. He's looking for a broken heart. 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, thus saith God, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also of a contrite and humble spirit. And God's desire is to dwell in your heart. God wants your heart to be a place where he can come into, a place where he can come into and dwell. And if your heart is not a heart after God, if your heart is carnal, if your heart is selfish, if your heart is full of pride, God will not be there. God will not be in a proud heart. He will not be in a selfish heart. He will not be in a strong-willed heart. He will not be in an impure heart. He will not be... He needs a contrite heart, a broken heart, a heart that is humble before him, a heart that says, yes, God, yes, God. Break me, God. Teach me. Teach me how to be your disciple. Where I can dwell. Do you think God is tonight up and down in these aisles in your heart? Do you think God is there asking you if he can dwell there? Do you believe that God's desire is that he would fill your heart tonight? Do you believe that God's desire, young person, that he would dwell with you tonight when you're on the way home and you want to push that CD in? Do you believe that God won't like what you have to listen to? Do you believe, businessman, that tomorrow morning when you do your accounts receivable, that it's all honest and it's open? And do you think God could sit with you and he could go over the books with you? Do you think he would be happy? Do you think he would be approving? Do you think, Father, the way you talk to your wife, the way you talk to your children, I'm speaking to this man first of all. I need this. I need to be broken. And sometimes I'm impatient. I confess that. And sometimes the words come out and the neck gets red and the words come out. I didn't plan on it. Didn't come out. Because the carnality is like a dog. You step on a dog's foot and it bites you. That's how it is. Sometimes things happen and we flare up. And we don't even want to, but it's there. It's right there. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to think about it. Well, now let's do this. Let's get some bad words. Let's just say them. Let's let the neck cut red. Let's get all hyper. Let's get all worked up. We don't do that. Because the natural man is in charge and things just happen. And then I'm so wrong. And then we have to confess and we have to. God, I messed up. Family, I messed up. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? God wants to dwell in my heart. He wants to dwell in my heart. Do we know what that means? Can we even imagine God dwelling in my heart? I can't completely, but I believe it. One more verse in Isaiah 66 and verse 2. I'm just going to read this, 66 verse 2, the book of Isaiah. And some of it is similar, and yet there's one phrase in here I'd like to just emphasize. And I emphasize this last phrase, tremble at my word. And I say this in relation to our text and in relation to our theme tonight, and that is to learn to be a disciple. What does it cost to be a disciple? And part of being a disciple is to tremble at the word of God. Let's read it. Verse 2. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But this man will I look. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembled at my word. I believe when we take the word of God, our teacher, and we hear what he says, it should cause us to tremble. I believe it should cause us to tremble when we read that God wants to dwell in our hearts. And who am I? And how can this be? And oh, what am I? And oh, God, help me. And we should tremble at the holiness of God, dwelling in unholy flesh. But it's where he wants to dwell. We need to tremble. We need to hear. We need to believe. That's all part of trembling. What does a broken disciple look like? What is it? I have a number of things here I'd like to suggest to you that a broken heart, or a broken, yes, heart, and a broken disciple, the cost of a disciple, cost of being a true disciple, what does that look like? Is it sorrow for sin? Is that all it is? Is that what it is? I believe that's part of it. I believe we need to have a sorrow for sin. And I don't mean that we're just sorry that we got caught. We're sorry that our parents found out. We're sorry that our church found out. We're sorry that our preacher found out. We're sorry that our brother and sister found out. We're ashamed because we're caught. And sometimes when we're caught, we need to confess it. We need to get victory over it. But sorrow for sin is just a hatred. We despise it. We don't like to be around it. I heard of a man just on Saturday. I was visiting a friend. And he was telling me he was in his John Deere dealership. And there was a man in there that should have known better, like beside the point. But while he was in there, this man was an older gentleman, and he was cussing. He was not the word advanced, maybe not completely advanced on the word used, but he was using profanity. Just one after another, just spewing out profanity. And he was just I don't know what about it. I don't think he was even that angry. I think it was just a way of life, and he just this profanity. And this man, my friend, he said, I had to walk out. He said, I walk away. I think that was a holy exercise to walk away, because he had sorrow. He despised the sin. And I think sometimes we as God's people should do more walking away. We should not like it. We should not enjoy sin or being around sin. We have a sorrow for sin. We have a godly sorrow for sin. And when someone falls into sin, we're so sorry. We want to help them so badly. We're sorry for it. We're sorry that they had this sin in their life, and we need to help them. And our children, and our parents, and everyone, brothers and sisters of the church, and I don't care. Sometimes ministers, they need help, and then the minister might have his back against the wall. You need to go and help him, and then show him where he was wrong, and by God's grace, help him. And we help each other. We're sorry about this. We don't like it. We're sorrow for sin. That's a true disciple. This week, I would like to learn, and I'd like to learn with you, God's sorrow for sin. God's attitude about sin. A true disciple has experienced death. A true disciple has experienced the old man dying. Maybe more than once. Maybe many times. Paul says, I die daily. Paul was this man we look up to as an early church leader and apostle and pioneer and missionary and all those things. But Paul said, I die daily. The old man keeps coming back up. The true disciple experienced death. Has experienced death, the old man. A true disciple resists anything contrary to the Spirit of God. I'm saying it again. A true disciple resists anything that is contrary to the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. So if I'm listening, I guess maybe music is easy for me to pick on tonight. But it's an example. But if I'm listening to music that's contrary to the Spirit of God, I'm not your disciple. My spirit needs to resist those things that are out there, and they're growing every day. Things that enter my ears, my eyes, from the world that are contrary to the Spirit of God. And my friend, I just said about the profanity, his spirit did not agree. The Spirit of God in his heart did not agree with the spirit of profanity. And so he walked away. He resisted that spirit. And the true disciple will do that. We will recognize the spirits and we'll resist them if they're not of God. A true disciple has a soft heart. A soft and pliable heart. A true disciple will hear God's voice. We said that already. We'll hear the teacher. We'll understand the lesson. We'll understand what God wants to say to him, to her. A true disciple will recognize in my own heart, in your own heart, if you're a true disciple of God, you will recognize when something happens what spirit it is. If you do something, you dress a certain way, you cut your hair a certain way, you come here a certain way, you drive a certain kind of car, you will recognize what spirit that came from. You will be, the word says in my mind, discerning, that's what it was. You will be discerning the Spirit of God in everyday life. You will know immediately when you say something wrong. You will recognize that as a word you shouldn't have used. You will recognize a feeling in your heart that is not right. If it's a pride, and you know it, and you refuse to deal with it, you're not a disciple. Not a true disciple. You need to deal with those spirits that come to you that wrestle with your spirit, the Spirit of God, the temptations are strong. And we wrestle, but in our honest hearts, before God, we know if it's pride. We know. You can tell your preacher, whatever. You can tell your Sunday school teacher. You can tell your father. You can tell your mother. But you know, and brother my age, we struggle with this thing, pride. Tremendously. I don't know why. It just seems like it's always there. And we achieved this and we paid this off and this is mine now. And you see my new pickup. Those things, we have to deal with them and recognize them for what they are. There's nothing wrong with a new truck or anything that's serviceable and you need. I don't want to be dogmatic. I'm just only for sake of illustration. But we have to recognize it. If I did it because I want to look good, if I did it because I want to be thought of, if I did it because it makes my chest get big and my head swell, we need to recognize it, and the disciple of Jesus will recognize it and will deal with it, and it will be death to my will. I'm going to close now. Just close here. I may finish this another evening, but my time has gotten away. I'd like to close with a simple challenge tonight, a simple prayer. I would like all of us to stand together as we pray this prayer together. Let's stand. the prayer will be tonight that God would be able to speak to us, that God would be able to touch our hearts. And if you're willing to pray that prayer with me, you don't have to do it out loud, but just as we bow our heads, I would like God to touch my heart this week. I would like to have a broken heart this week. I would like for God to be able to bring to my mind any area in my life that is not holy. I'm going to lead in this prayer. And if you would like to pray that with me, would you just raise your hand while we pray? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, tonight we ask you very humbly, Lord, that you would visit your people, that you would minister to your congregation here. Lord, that I and these dear people would have a broken heart before you. Lord, that our hearts would be soft and pliable, and that we would be open to your word. And that I would recognize the Spirit, that I would recognize my own weakness, that I would recognize anything that is contrary to your will in my life. Lord, take us to our homes now. Give us safety as we travel the snow. Help us have a good night and rest in peace. Help us, Lord, to be praying for each other, be praying for these meetings. Commit this to you in your holy name, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.